First of all, I would like to thank organizers for invitation and giving opportunity to talk here. I'm really happy to be here and give a talk. So, I titled the like this, so asymptotically safe gravity and earthquake scale genesis. Yesterday we had a good talk by Manuel and Ashley, so I don't explain the detail of asymptotically safe gravity. But I want to discuss more phenomenological future, for example, dark matter, and so on. And so in particular, I want to discuss what the consequence from the asymptotically safe gravity to the low energy physics. This talk is based on this paper in collaboration with many of my friends. Okay, let's go. So, short history. 1960s. We have a lot of discussion on how to generate the gauge boson mass, starting from the Schwinger and to some Angle-L, Broad, and Higgs, and so on. After half century, so eventually, yeah, actually Higgs boson actually exists, and which gives the gauge boson mass by spontaneous symmetric breaking. That's wonderful. But what is next? So at least now we have no any new physics signal from LHC. So for example, it's some exotic particle, also Higgs and Suji particle. So this particle actually it's constrained by LHC. So actually it's excluded up to the TB order scale, energy scale. So now what we can do in this situation? At least we know that the standard model is consistent with LHC result. But still we know that there are a lot of problems which we cannot explain by standard model. For example, what is the dark matter? So how to explain the neutron mass, the tiny neutron mass? Also how to explain the baryon number asymmetry? And so on, a lot of things. So, but now, problem is that we have no guide principle how to extend the standard model. It's very, now it's chaotic situation. So now, how to tackle these problems? So now in my talk, so I want to focus on the Higgs sector. Because now actually Higgs boson was discovered by LHC, but nevertheless, so we don't know the details of Higgs potential. And also, we have to answer where does Higgs mass come from. Actually, we know 125 GeV, but how to realize it? So this question, of course, is related to gauge hierarchy problem. So in this talk, I want to discuss some quantum gravity effect on scalar dynamics. Okay, this is my talk plan. First of all, I discuss the scalar theory and asymptotically safe gravity. I don't review the detail of asymptotically safe gravity, but I want to discuss this effect on the scalar theory, in particular scalar mass. After that, I will discuss some so-called classical scale invariance. This name is a little bit confusing, but I will discuss later. And also I have to discuss the scale genesis. This name is made by me and my collaborator, this new terms, but I will discuss what is that. After that, so I will discuss what is the phenomenological implications and from some models. Okay, let's start with looking at the RG equation of scalar mass. So now I write down the RG equation for the scalar mass. Now, M bar square is correspond to the dimensionless scalar mass. So K is now RG scale. So which given by in this way. So now we have a 2 minus something. So 2 correspond to the canonical dimension of mass squared, because scalar mass squared is dimension 2. So now 2 we have here. And also we have a loop correction. So the loop correction corresponds to the anomalous dimension. So it's totally, we have some effective dimension
of a scalar.
So from this fact, we see that the gauge hierarchy problem arises. That is, so from observation, some anomalous dimension is very small, so negligible. So which means that effective dimension almost two, almost same as the canonical dimension. So now observation tells us that dimensionless mass, namely Higgs mass and the electroweak scale, is ratio of these guys is order one. Okay, so which means that from this equation, so we have to have a very, very tiny scalar mass at the Planck scale. Okay, this is so-called gauge hierarchy problem. So this is a schematic figure of RG flow. So at the electroweak scale, so ratio of dimensionless scalar, it should be order one. But RG flow is grow up towards low energy. So which means that we can extrapolate using RG flow, RG equation, and we get very, very smaller mass, actually 10 to minus 34. So at the Planck scale. Why? This is so-called gauge hierarchy problem. Okay?
And why is it the problem?
Why the problem? It's, I mean, we have a large hierarchy. Of course, you can say, no, it's a coincidence. You can say coincidence. We have no problem. Of course, you can say so. But so we're wondering why it's so small, but not zero, but it's very tiny. Why? This is a question. Okay.
It means there isn't a symmetry you can easily make to keep it tiny. If it were zero, you could impose a symmetry.
Yeah, sure. But I will discuss this fact. So maybe key point is a scalar symmetry, of course.
So if we go back, I mean, I also had this discussion with Tom a couple of days ago. There is this conformal Higgs model where I guess you said that the self-coupling is big, and then that's, and I guess Tom was saying that the self-coupling is not very.
Yeah. So if you mean, if we have a large, large coupling, so this is suppressed. It's, and then I will discuss it next. Okay.
Okay.
So. This is next, let's switch on quantum gravity effect on scalar mass. So in that case, you know, effect dimension of scalar learning, it's modified like this. It's two minus some, this is a scalar self-coupling. And also we have a graviton loop correction and so on. So critical exponent correspond to effect dimension of scalar, so scaling. So it's given by like this. At a fixed point, so we get this scaling. Two minus and self-coupling and minus some graviton effect. So usually we say, so self-coupling is very small. In that case, we neglect this way. But if we have a quantum gravity effect, and also if you believe the asymptotically safe gravity exists, so this fixed point is non-zero, okay? So which means that two minus some graviton effect. So two is suppressed, it becomes smaller than two, okay? So here, important fact that asymptotically safe gravity could give a large anomalous dimension, right? Large anomalous dimension of scalar mass. So thanks to this fact, so above the Planck scale, RG flow of mass is modified drastically. Now here we assume that lambda star, at which is a fixed point of self-coupling, it's zero. But of course, you know, we have some discussion. It might be we might have some finite value. In this case, of course, learning of mass is of course it's modified. But now I don't consider this case. But we can discuss later that this possibility. Okay.
What are the units of lambda in this thing?
Lambda, here, this guy?
Yeah.
This is a cosmological constant.
In what units though? I mean,
dimensionless, this case is dimensionless. Everything, all coupling should be dimensionless in this case.
The units of k squared is
top. Yeah, exactly. So it's made by, it's dimensionless, made by, k squared. Okay, so now you take, so let's consider taking the continuum limit in this case. Now let's assume that we have a fixed point at the Gaussian, which means here, this is a zero point, zero line. So RG flow becomes become like this, we have two possibilities. One is still positive, of course, but it's smaller than 2, okay, above the Planck scale, because, you know, critical exponent of scalar is suppressed by the graviton effect. So scaling of algae flow become mild, it's suppressed. But it's positive, so it's grow up towards low energy feature, low energy energy. So second possibility is that critical exponent become negative, which means that scalar coupling become irrelevant. In that case, if you take a continuum limit, scalar must keep zero up to the electroweak scale. We have two possibilities. So now I explain the two possibilities. So one is a positive critical exponent, right? So in this case, origin of fixed mass is a coincidence. So we just tune the scalar mass such that we get some electroweak scale and fixed mass. I think actually Astrid considered this case, I think. I don't know. But also we have a possibility of a negative critical exponent. In that case, so algae flow keep zero, which means that we have no scale corresponding to the electroweak scale, okay? And in particular, so let's assume that at the Planck scale, graviton effect is a decoupled, and then we have some standard model action effect as the effective theory. And then in that case, standard model become a scaleless theory, scale invariant theory, okay? So we have two possibilities. So of course, in this case, it's coincidence. We don't have to discuss. But now here, let's consider this case. So if we have the negative critical exponent due to the quantum gravity effect, so what we can do? In particular, we have to discuss the how to generate the electroweak scale. So this is a question, okay? So summary, okay? If summary so far. So first of all, the scalar mass could be irrelevant due to the quantum gravity effect. So quantum gravity effect generate large anomalous dimension, and then scalar mass scaling is suppressed. Yeah. And then eventually its scalar mass could be irrelevant. So in this case, standard model sector become completely scale invariant form. So we have no corresponding scale. So it's scale invariant form. Okay. Okay, next, let's go to next. Next, we discuss the classical scale imbalance and the scale genesis. Now, previously I discussed that if the critical exponent become negative, scalar mass keep vanishing zero. So we have no corresponding energy scale. So standard model become the scale invariant theory at the Planck scale. So this idea is actually known as a classical scale invariance. Actually, this word actually suggested at 1980s, something like that. No, sorry, 1955, sorry. Yeah, discussed by, introduced by Bardeen, William Bardeen. So, but classical is a little bit confusing. Classical means that bare action of a standard model action. But, you know, standard model is effective action. From the UV theory. So in that sense, it's classical. This term is a little bit confusing, but just its name, right? So we call it classical scale invariance. So in that case, standard model action has no scale, no electroweak scale, corresponding scale. So in that case, we have to generate the scale. So I call scale genesis. That is how to generate a scale. So this is the question. So most simple way is that introducing the Higgs portal. Higgs portal is Higgs and some operator, some new particle interact. So this operator actually connect between the standard model and the dark sector, like this. So standard model Lagrangian is there, and then we have dark sector. So two sectors connected by Higgs portal. So now we consider scale invariant form in the standard model action. So scale most simple way is this way: Higgs, two Higgs coupled to some scalar theory, a scalar field. So now here, I introduce the following dark Lagrangian. So now I consider the dark gauge theory, SUNC gauge theory. So this is a gauge field interaction term. Also, I introduce the new scalar, S. And I also write down the possible possible interaction, kinetic term, and the self-coupling and Higgs-Potter coupling. Now, I assume that at Higgs-Potter coupling plus sign of Higgs-Potter coupling is positive. This is assumption. So now we have index ij. Ij denote the Kleber indices. So I consider NOF Kleber. And also I consider NC gauge theory. So this action, this Lagrangian connected with the standard model by Higgs-Potter coupling.
Sorry, so can I just say, you have a dark scalar gauge theory.
Exactly. Dark,
the gluons are dark, no, and the scalars are dark. And
yeah, yeah, so dark, yeah, dark gluon, I consider dark gluon and dark scalar. Yeah, this is completely newly introduced here. So now we introduce newly at the dark sector and in this form. So my claim is that, so this Lagrangian could describe the strong dynamics, right? So due to this strong dynamics, so we could have the condensation of the scalar. That is this way. So two scalar condensate. And in this case, you know, this part become expectation value. And then we have some fixed mass term. This is ideal. Okay, so that is, we consider dynamical scale symmetry breaking, okay? So, but this Lagrangian is, of course, it's, you know, non-evident gauge theory. So, of course, I want to consider strong dynamics, and then we need some non-perturbative computation. But it's very highly complicated. So usually we cannot solve directly this Lagrangian. So now, but we know that how to approach the strong dynamics. One is making the effective theory. For example, QCD case. So if we want to discuss the Kyler Schmidt breaking, so of course it's very difficult, but as an effective model, so we can use an NGL model as an effective model of Kyler dynamics. So in that sense, also we could make a corresponding the effective theory. So now here, as an effective model of this Lagrangian, so I try to use this form. That is, this is simple scalar theory, but it's but this is a scaleless theory. This is completely scale invariant form. Of course, this is wrong, but I neglect a lot of effect. But now here, assume that we could describe the dynamics of this condensation by using this simple action, Lagrangian. So what we want to see is that, so scaleless theory dynamically generate the scale. This is our task. So using this Lagrangian, so we can compute some physical quantity. So this is a result. So we can compute the effective potential by using the mean field approximation. So this is effective potential, Higgs quartic coupling, and also we have some interaction. So F is now corresponding mean field. F is correspond to the S dagger S mean field. And last term corresponds to loop effect of S. This corresponds to the trace log of loop of new particle. So now here we see that, so if you take into account the quantum effect, so we need renormalization. And then you have to introduce the renormalization point. Renormalization point is a dimension full parameter. So that is from dimensionless theory, we generate the some scale, some corresponding scale, which are remuneration point. So we can generate the scale. So this is a scale genesis, okay? Of course, you know, all of this, everyone calls this is a dimensional transmutation. Yeah, it's the same, but scale genesis is more, how to say, it's more fancy name, I think. So that's why I want to say scale genesis here, but it's same as dimensional transmutation. So now, by computing the loop effect of particle, so we can generate the scale. And using this scale, for example, we can characterize the some condensation like this. Also, we can compute the physical value of Higgs, for example, Higgs BEV, and also Higgs mass. So, of course, these guys should be observed value. So, namely, is Higgs BEV case, it's 244 GB, 46 GB, and Higgs mass should be 126 GB. So, using this value, it's parameter, of course, it's constrained. Okay. Summary so far. So now we have to consider scale genesis because we consider some scale less theory. So in that case, we have no corresponding scale to the electroweak one. So we have to explain how to generate a scale from scale less theory. This is scale genesis. So in my talk, actually, I consider some scalar gauge theory in dark sector. So Higgs mass is generated by dynamical scale breaking in dark sector, but it's very difficult. So I formulate the effective theory, and then I compute the such a physical values. Okay.
Can I?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure I understand where the scale comes from exactly.
This guy?
Yeah.
Because now this is a loop effect, right? Usually this loop it diverges, right? So we have to renormalize. Right? In that case, we have to give some renormalization point. Right? So now we have log something. So to make it dimensionless, we have to introduce the some boundary of energy scale. Right? So this is a renormalization point. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Good. So finally, okay. Let's discuss phenomenological implication. So I discussed three things. One is there is a dark matter candidate. Next is first order electroweak and scale phase transition takes place. And finally, I discussed the gravitational waves. This really, I think it's very hot topic in future. So now we consider some condensation of scalar, two scalars. So in analog of QCD, so if we have some condensation, we have some excited state. For example, Kailash-Mitchell breaking case, we have a pion, sigma meson and a pion. In the same way, of course, in our model, we have an excited state. Now here I write sigma and phi A. So we have we can consider excited state. So now TAJAK, this guy is a Freber. A generator of Freber symmetry, okay? So if you assume that, so Freber symmetry is unbroken. So in this case, so such a process is forbidden. For example, at phi, it's decay into the Higgs via some loop of scalar, which means that phi is very stable particle. And then phi can be a dark matter candidate. And so we can compute some annihilation process, and then we can compute the spin independent cross section and Higgs dark matter mass. So now, in this case, I consider NC is log 6 and NF 2, two flavor case and color 6 case. So now I choose a parameter such that we have observed values, for example, Higgs mass and BEV and dark matter relic density abundance. Okay, So this is a prediction. Now I impose the different flavor symmetry. And now we have a line here. So solid line corresponds to the upper bounds from xenon-1-ton. Yes, xenon-1-ton. This is the current observation result. So upper bound. And dot line corresponds to panda. And dashed line corresponds to lux. OK, so this is the upper bound. So above region is already excluded. So around here is already excluded. But still, we have allowed region here. I'd like to note that, so for lower spin-independent cross-section, so we have a constraint from cosmic Newton background. Okay, so in that case, and we can, it's difficult to observe the dark matter signal because Newton background become enhanced. So we cannot see, we cannot distinguish between the Newton background and the dark matter. In the future, so this bound goes down, and then my model actually is tested. Yeah, so R5.
Cosmic neutrino or solar neutrino background?
Cosmic neutrino, right? It's,
So what do the dashed lines mean? I've lost, how is the, what?
Which one? It's a dash?
Yeah, like.
These guys?
Yeah,
okay, thanks. First of all, this line corresponds to the xenon-1-ton in future. In future,
experiment.
Yeah, exactly. Right, so also, this is also. That so in future, it's, in future, it's this bound go to this, for example, solid line correspond to, goes down in the future, in the future. Maybe eventually it's...
Trouble reading, but that's okay, but thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah, but it's very important, so thanks. So this line, this solid line eventually go down, and then test it for each point. Of course, if this line go to here, it's quite difficult to observe the dark matter signal. Yeah, in that case, we have to consider the alternative scenario. In this case, it's a WIMP dark matter. So next, we discuss the electroweak and the scale phase transition. Okay, let's consider thermal effect. And that's, now we have a two other parameter. So electroweak vacuum and the condensation vacuum. So thermal effect, due to the thermal effect, at some point is wave become zero. So this is a phase transition temperature. So I found that the scale phase transition could be a first order, like this. So potential become this form, and so temperature go to higher. So at some point wave is suddenly jump, and vanish. So this means that if we go to high temperature, this vacuum jump to here, is like that line here, like this. So scale phase transition could be fast order. Thanks to this fact, so electroweak phase transition also could be a fast order. So scale phase transition becomes fast order. So which trigger the electroweak phase transition? So electroweak phase transition also could be a faster order. So this fact could be used for electroweak baryogenesis. So we could explain some baryon number asymmetry. Okay, finally, I want to discuss the gravitational wave from the first order scale phase transition. First order phase transition means that we have a gap between the entropy. So now we have a two vacua, so broken phase and symmetric phase. So at some point, within the evolution of universe, so vacua become changed from the symmetric phase to the broken phase. In this case, we have a gap of entropy. So that's why we have a latent heat. Latent heat is given by temperature times the difference between the entropy. This latent heat could be an energy source of a gravitational wave, okay? And then we can compute, because we have, I compute the phase transition. So I can compute also latent heat in our model. So we can compute the gravitational spectrum. Result is like this. Now, this dot line corresponds to ELISA in future sensitivity, right? And also, at this dashed line corresponds to DeSaigo, and also its future experiment. So now our model prediction is here. So gamma is now Friedel normalization parameter. So I changed by hand. So now peak of gravitational wave from phase transition could be tested by DeSaigo in future. So if we have some phase transition, so gravitational wave is produced, and then that DeSaigo could be observe this signal. Okay, this is very good because in future we have a very precise the measurement of Higgs sector by ILC. But on the other hand, in future some gravitational wave observation will start. So using the both, so we can test the dark sector, because dark sector usually very, how to say, interaction is very weak. So it's very difficult to observe the dark sector. But in future, we could observe the dark, we can see the dark sector using some gravitational wave. So we want to observe some signal from the dark sector using dark gravitational wave. How much time, actually?
Actually, that was 30 minutes.
Oh, 30 minutes. Okay. So I will mention, because last discussion, so Francisco discussed some QCD-like model. Also, we can consider the QCD-like dark sector like this. This is also hidden gauge, and hidden quark, and hidden scalar, and we consider Higgs, some Higgs portal. Also, we can consider similar models. Also, we can compute dark matter prediction. For example, in this case, pion can be a dark matter candidate. In this case, pion become WIMP dark matter. So in this case, we have some prediction region here. This is a xenon upper bound. So in future, actually could observe. This is a WIMP case. And also, we can discuss the gravitational wave from this model, because you know, and this is a three Freiberg case. So three Freiberg case, Kyler phase transition could be a first order. So gravitational wave could be generated by first order or Kyler phase dark color Kyler symmetric breaking. So in future also we could
Sorry, I guess the comment, I was just looking this up. I mean, the astrophysical background for gravitational wave is much bigger than the numbers.
Yes, exactly. This is a good point. Actually, so yes, we have background. So it might be, this such a signal might be go background. Yes, yes. We have to discuss these things, actually. Yes, but now I don't consider here. But it's a good point, yes. SIMP case. Also, pion can be a SIMP. Francisco discussed here, SIMP. So in this case, pion can be a dark matter. So pion dynamics can be described by a non-linear sigma model, action given by this form. So this term is Wes-Zimino Witten term. So we have a 5-point interaction, pi. 5-point interaction. So thanks to this interaction, so we can compute the annihilation. So 3 pion to the 2 pion. So we can reduce the dark matter number, the density. So this is the idea of SIMP. So we can compute the cross section. And this is, but this is a region. First of all, blue line corresponds to the two interaction, 2 pion and 2 pion, which constrained by dark some halo. It's a galaxy halo. So this line should be below one. Also, this red line corresponds to the mass of pion. Pion is now dark matter. So, but now we use a chiral perturbation theory. So we have some upper limit of validity of chiral perturbation. So actually, it's dot line, this line. So we should have below this line. So that's why allowed region is only here, very small. So it's very difficult to, we have very constrained here. And also we can compute some phase transition of.
I think
we
should conclude this.
Okay, yeah, this last, yes. So now, but color phase transition unfortunately become some crossover. So that's why gravitational wave cannot be produced. Yeah. This summary. So now I consider the scenario where scalar mass could be irrelevant due to the gravitational effect or quantum gravity effect. In this case, we have no corresponding electroweak scale, and then we have to realize the scalar genesis. In this case, I introduced the scalar gauge theory in dark sector. So we have a lot of future experiment as we could test the dark sector by using gravitational wave or dark matter. That's it. Yes, thank you very much.
Questions or comments?
So one thing I get a bit confused about as I consult astrophysics people is they say the problem with the strongly interacting dark matter is it tends to clump and you need it to be cold and diffuse. And so how do you deal with that here? Pions,
yeah.
Why don't they all just glob together, but
yeah.
Needed these halos to be big?
Yeah, exactly. So that's why I compute the two scattering. So this bound corresponds to this line. So at least we have to have a 2-2 scattering should be below the one. So that's why we cannot realize
that. That means they can't really form bound states.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So exactly. So we should, yes. So this is a.
They scatter there. Okay.
Yeah, so that's why. So this constraint is here. So should be 2-2 scattering should be below the one. So
sorry. And what's the blue and the red line again?
Blue line corresponds to 2-2 scattering value of against the dark matter mass. So blue line, red corresponds to the dark matter lake. So this line corresponds to the as a possible region. Which satisfy the dark matter relic abundance.
And what is the blue?
The blue is the scattering.
Scattering.
The red is the one on the left.
Yeah, this line, on this line, so it's a relic abundance is satisfied. So, yeah.
So the gray region is very much astrophysically, I think, allowed or even preferred. So that's for the self-interaction of.
Mm-hmm.
The gray area.
This here? Yeah, this is some bound of dark matter. So this is some, it's uncertainty of some galaxy. Yes. Actually, simple is very, very constrained. Yeah.
Other questions?
Yeah, so another one, like at one point, I thought you were pointing. Oh, my apologies. No, I already asked. You go ahead.
What's new in this stuff? Because there's like 4,000 citations of Coleman Weinberg or something.
Coleman Weinberg?
You're just doing Coleman Weinberg in a hidden scalar sector and so on.
Yeah, exactly. Coleman Weinberg case, it's completely standard. It's like a standard model, right?
Yeah.
But in this case, we realize Coleman Weinberg, it's so called radiative symmetry breaking by the dark sector. So this is a new, right?
No, it's not new.
Yeah, of course we have a lot of numerous models, right? So.
I mean, there's 100 papers which have got a scalar sector doing Coleman Weinberg. with a portal coupling connecting to the standard model.
Yeah, sure, exactly. We have a lot of model, but so what new thing is that we introduce that such a model. This is a new.
No, it's not new.
But nobody considers some such a condensation. Well, of course, everyone considers a single scalar condensation, of course. But my case is a. So yes, we consider an unbroken SU2 gauge because this operator doesn't break the SUNC gauge. So my new point is that we have such a condensed vacuole. This is a new point. Of course, everyone, you know, a lot of people consider some single scalar condensation, of course. But now here, I don't consider such a...
What is the advantage of considering the condensate of two scalar fields rather than the vacuum expectation value of one field? What is the advantage of...
Sorry, here?
What is the advantage of having...
Advantage? First is that, of course, first of all, SU2 is a... SU2 it's a key, unbroken, right? So it's some stability of dark sector. It's a guarantee, right? Yes.
Dark matter candidate.
But if you consider some breaking of some SUNC. So its situation becomes more complicated. For example, yeah, there are a lot of dark matter candidates and so on. So it's very complicated, but yeah, this case is more simple. It's, yeah. Yes.
I'd just like to know what's the benefit of having a scalar condensate rather than, a fermion condensate?
First is like very simple, right? So how many, so please counting how many free parameters, right? 1, 2, 3 in this case. But for example, if you consider the QCD case,
yes.
Yukawa here, 1, 2, 3, and also we have...
But would you then need this?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, what we want to say is that so now to connect with dark sector, so we should introduce an additional scalar. That is very annoying. So that's why, so if you consider scalar condensates, so we can consider only the Higgs border. Yeah.
Thanks.
Well, it's all right. It got
Any questions? Actually, I have one. So this condensate has dagger S.
It's dagger S.
Is it also supposed to generate the Planck scale or?
No, now here Planck scale is unknown. So we cannot mention that. But of course we can use
start from, let's say, more high, exactly.
Yeah, of course.
Planck scale and then you want to generate.
Of course we can use, we can consider such a scenario, of course. But I don't consider yet, but it's possible, yes. So using just this condensation, so we could explain the origin of Planck scale. That's possible, yes. This is a possibility, but now here I don't consider. Yeah.
Yeah, I just to make maybe a small comment following you. I think it's, it's basically because it's a QCD in the hidden sector. So basically it's like, the scale, I mean, depends on when the coupling becomes extremely strong, right? So it's when the coupling becomes extremely strong at the Planck scale, it might be possible to address your question. And when the coupling becomes a slightly lower TV scale, maybe also then it's
in this
framework.
Yes,
and,
exactly.
And also maybe another small comment about the why study QCD. I think it's the hidden sector, it's just the people, because the simplest one have been studied. So now it's going to more and more in the richer structure. So basically this is QC definitely it's a very good example. And then we could also consider like a semi-simple in the hidden sector, right, in the future. And you can have completely dark standard model in the hidden. And because there's no reason to believe that why the hidden should be that simple.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
So if there are no other comments or questions.
I mean, you probably know that these dark QCD models have been proposed quite some time back in phenomenology.
Yes. Yeah, sure, yes.
What makes them interesting is that if you really have a double copy, then it, with dark QCD, of course, having a similar confinement scale as the visible QCD, then, of course, the dark matter abundances, right?
Yeah.
I have a very natural explanation. Of course, that can now, in the details, can have all sorts of slight variations, right?
Yeah. So yes, exactly. So actually, we have a lot of some model of dark sector. So of course, we have no idea which is correct, but in future, so we have a lot of experiments. For example, in ILC, it's linear collider experiment, also the gravitational wave. So using this experiment, so in complementary, so we could have data of hidden sector, dark sector or hidden sector, yes. So that's why we want to invest and so consider that it's a dark sector connected with Higgs sector. Yeah.